Remember last week, we were here, and the shepherds got up and they talked about our time is now. They talked about that, setting forth some goals for 2013. And the fact is that, we've got our goal or our vision or focus for 2013. Our time is now, and the hour cometh when no man can work. I love that we're, the hour cometh. That's King James, just so you know. That's how they used to talk back then. They would say things like, hey, we're going to cometh over to thouest housest for dinnereth this evening. Something like that. I don't know. But seriously, the fact is that we don't have, we don't have all day. Have you ever heard that? You just like, when you're frustrated with your kids or with your spouse or whatever, you want them to do something and they're just, lollygagging around. You're like, hey, while I'm young or while I'm still as young as I am, I don't have all day. Folks, we got to get this done. Have you ever been just doing a job and you look around and you're the only one working? And you look and the people that are supposed to be working with you, they're just, like, whatever, We'll do it sometime. God is saying, guys, I don't have forever. We don't have all day to get this done. There is a job that I want you to do, that I have saved you to do, that I have predestined you to do, and we need it to get done. And we're saying that time is now. I mean, people are living and dying around us every day without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to do something about it. And the shepherds of our congregation have said, we're going to do something about it now. We're not content to wait. We're not content to just sit around and look busy. And so we've got these goals for 2013. And those goals are very specific. And we talked about them last week and they're in your bulletin. And you're going to hear about them from me a lot this year. And you're going to think, wow, Shane sounds like a broken record. And for this side, a record we used to get music on those and you would put it on this record player. And then when it broke, it just skip. But they don't know what that is. They don't know what I'm talking about. It's sort of like an MP3 that it was, big and round. Anyway. You're going to say, Shane, you sound like a broken record up there. That's all we hear about are these goals. Well, the Bible says to keep the vision always before the people. It says write it big and bold so that someone who's running really fast by it can still read it. That's what the scripture says about vision and goals and what God wants us to do. And so the fact is that right now we have got to be working for God because we're not going to be here forever. God doesn't have all day for us to sit around and decide to work. So it's now. And these are the goals. Remember we talked about we want to have 8 conversions. That means that by the end of this year, we're going to look back and say, you know what? We took the confession of and we baptized 8 people. And everybody's thinking, oh, yeah, great. Well, we got one last week. Hyatt doesn't count. He does count, but no. No. We still got 8 to go. We still got 8 to go. The preacher's kids are a matter of when, not if. We're worried about those ifs. With all seriousness, one of the 4 happiest days of my life took place last Sunday. And I was so excited to see a brother baptize his brother. But we're worried about the ifs. We're not going to get off on a technicality. We're not going to water down our goals because there's people that are there's people today. That child's not gone a day his life without hearing the name Jesus. There's people that have not gone a day in their life hearing the name Jesus. That's who we're worried about. We got to find those people. What are you, what are you doing today? What did you do this past week? Our shepherds, our leaders stood here and said, this is what we believe God has put on our heart. What did you do this week to find those people? I watched this show. One of my favorite shows is Gold Rush. And then there's another show called Bering Sea Gold. It's on Friday nights on the History Channel. Watch it. It's great. You know what they'll do? You know what these guys do? They're up in the Klondike in Alaska mining for gold. And you know what they'll, you know what they will do to find these little bitty nuggets and sometimes just a pan of dust, gold dust. You know what they will do to find these little nuggets of gold? Anything. They'll do any. They're Bering Sea gold. Do you know what these people do? They get on these little pontoon dredges. They go out in the Bering Sea in Nome, Alaska. In the middle of summertime, the water's like 40 degrees. And they'll put on these wetsuits and they'll dive down like 30 feet and they take these big suction hoses and walk around sucking up the bottom of the ocean. I mean, on these contraptions, you wouldn't even go out in the water in these things. And they're underwater for 6, 7, 8 hours sucking up dirt, hoping, praying there's just a little bit of gold in there. You know what they will do to find gold? Whatever it takes. Some of them have almost died searching for gold. Well, we have this resource all around us that is so much more valuable than gold. It's so much more precious than any other thing on this earth. And it is the souls of people that Jesus thought of as he hung on the cross and bled and died. And he said, I want you, I am saving you to go find them so that they can save others. And God's saying your time is now and we've got to be about finding those people. What have we done this week? Well, the good news is that if we haven't done anything, we got another week coming. We pray to God that we do. And that's another thing. We're going to be praying a week of prayer. And that's going to take some time. That's going to take, we're going to have a sign-up sheet. Go backwards. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. I didn't put the dates up there, but right before Easter, we're going to pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray for the souls of lost people. Pray for our hearts so that we will love those souls, because that's where it starts. We're going to pray and pray some more, and people are going to come and they say, oh, well, I wish I could come up there and pray, but I've got a commitment. I've got a meeting. Move the meeting and come and pray. I mean, come on, let's just get serious about this. I mean, for once in our lives, let's just let this year be all about God, all about His kingdom, all about bringing the kingdom of God here on earth like He wants us to, and not wait any longer. We're going to be committed. We're going to be an example. Sunday school, 100 people. I don't know what our numbers was this morning, but I don't think we're at 100 yet. That's not a peak. That's an average. You know what we're going to have to do to make up for January and February where we haven't hit 100 yet? We're going to have like 125 for an extended period of time. You know what that means? That means, man, I'm going to be at church. We're going to have worship 135. We've hit that, but then we're down, you know, and we're going to have to be consistently 145 to average 135. And we're like, well, it's all about numbers. Absolutely it is. Absolutely. It's all about numbers. Because God's saying, I don't have all day. Time is going to end. These people are precious to me, and you have got to, they've got to be precious to you. And, you know, and being here, it's encouraging to people. You know what? We're inviting people. We're inviting lost people to come to be at church. And if they show up and nobody's here, you think they're going to want to join a church that nobody cares about coming to? No. If we're not excited about being here, how are they going to be? So we're going to, you know, and what that does is we've got a giving goal of $4,600. And that, you know, it's not all about money, but if we want to do the things that we've got planned to do, then we've got to support it. I mean, you know, hey, I hear, can the church buy this? Can the church buy this? Can the church, you know, I don't know. Can you? You know, it's like complaining about the roads. Well, I mean, you know, we're the community. Where do you think the community comes up with money to build new roads? From us. Hey, no new taxes. Okay, well, no new roads. No new schools. No new this, no new that. If we don't want to give, guess what? Well, when things happen and people show up here and they need stuff, or we're going to go somewhere, or we're going to do a mission trip, if we don't have the funds to do that, then it's just, see, it's this vicious vortex circle of we're going to be here and we're going to have things to do, and that's a goal. And we've got to support that. You know, 24 to double, that's a goal. Outreach, that's all about outreach. The thing is that, and I love the fact that that John Spencer got up here and talked about, you know, the church in Nicaea and going way back and all of those, you know, the meal that they had. You know what would happen if we did church like that? A, about a third of us in here would lose our minds because it's not how we've always done it. Well, we're not supposed to do it that way. Do you know that the founding fathers, the church fathers, guys like Clement of Rome or Polycarp or Trajan, people that wrote the stuff that, you know, oh, I don't know, David Lipscomb studied before he started his, you know, school, whatever. Guys that were here and believed and died long before, that's kind of how they did it. They just had this meal and they got around and they did, you know, and they talked and they studied and, you know, and it was sort of this 4 or 5 hour thing on Sundays. That's what they did. And if we tried to do that today, like John said, that's what they did back in, that's not how we, you know, 24 to double is going to make Highland Hills look a lot different than it has for its first 20 years. I'm just telling you, it's going to, if we buy into it. If we get behind this, and guess what? Highland Hills isn't going to look like it has for the last 20 years, because if we do this, it will grow. We will grow. And guess what we won't have time to do? We won't have time to go to every one of those people and explain to them what we've done for the last 20 years. They're going to bring in new ideas. They're going to bring in passions. They're going to bring in ministries. And you know what we need to do? We need to fan that into flame, not smother it. That's what we need to do. So it's going to look a little different. We got to decide, what am I here to do? Am I here to check something off and say I did what I've always done? Or am I here to bring glory to God and let this thing explode? What are we doing? Outreach, small groups. There's some of us that, you know, we've got to do. This is a connection point, small groups. You know, Computers for Christ. The reason I bring that up, I mean, that's a ministry. You know, Matt's just, and he's not here this morning because he had an asthma attack this morning at 4 o'clock. And you know what Matt did? Because Matt's supposed to sit back there where Tim's sitting, hitting the button, doing that. You know what Matt did this morning? He called me. And I was in the shower, and when he didn't get a hold of me, he sent me a text, and I didn't return that. And then you know what he did then? Then he called my wife. Because he wanted somebody to know, I've got a job to do this morning at church, and it's valuable, and it's important, and it brings glory to God, and I'm not going to just not show up. So Matt called. And you know what? Tim's sitting back there, pinch hitting, and doing a fine job, I might add. See, it's important. So if we're in the parking lot, or if we're in the care team, or if we're pushing the button, it's important. Somebody's got to think, man, that's important. I'm just not going to not show up so people are running around. I mean, it's important. And Matt has got this desire. He's like, you know what? I got a gift of computerisms, and I'm going to do that to the glory of God. And mission trips, going on a mission trip, going up to New Jersey to spend time. And we might have to take vacation time. We might, you know, people to go up to New Jersey, you might have to take personal vacation time. 4 years ago when we were going down to New Orleans, Troy Davis took every single, he had like, I mean, he's been at Schmied for 100 years and built up like 10 weeks of vacation. Every week of vacation he had that year, he spent on a mission trip. Personal vacation time. That's what it looks like. What do you have to do that's more important than this? What do we have to do? That's what it's going to look. These are our goals. And I'm going to keep it before us. Now, hopefully, I told Al this morning, I'm sorry, brother, I lied to you. I said for the first 37 seconds, I'm going to talk about this. Well, it's been 15 minutes, but it's important. And I'm fired up about this. I am fired up about it, and we have got to be about, I mean, let me tell you this. Jesus died for the church. Never badmouth the church. Jesus died for the church. However, is the church dying for Jesus? Are we dying every day for Him? Are we living the life of the cross for Him? Or are we just trying to set up our lives the way we want it and then sprinkle in a little bit of religion on Sundays? I mean, Jesus died for us. So the church is important. But we have got to be about working to grow His kingdom, to bring His kingdom here on earth. And that's going to be uncomfortable. He tells us it's going to be uncomfortable. But it's going to be worth it. Because of the glory, the all-surpassing glory of seeing that kingdom manifested on earth is, transcends any of our experiences. So as we go into this reality of this begin a new journey, every week I want us to think about, you know, did I start a new walk with God? Did I start a new concept of what this relationship with Christ looks like? Am I on a new journey? And we talk about this road to transformation. And as we read in Philippians 3, 17 through 21, Jesus is transforming our lowly bodies. You know, with Dan Redd, he said, you know, as I've often told you, see, some things bear repeating. He says, I've often told you, and again, with tears in my eyes, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their destiny is destruction. Then he makes this transition. We are different than them. We're not the same. Now, Philippians is a book or a letter written to the church about the church. See, Paul's not going to spend any time. Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, a sermon to the church about the church. You see, it does no good for us to sit in here and talk about people that aren't in here. Because we do that, we do enough of that already. We do enough of, well, you know, good thing we're not like those people out there. Remember the Pharisee? Oh, Lord, thank you for not letting me be like the lowly sinner over there. We do that naturally. So Jesus isn't going to waste his time talking about people that aren't. He's talking to people who are listening to him. And he's saying that, you know, we've got to change, we've got to change, we've got to change. That there's two roads, and one road is hard and one road is easy. And he's talking to a bunch of people who are on that easy road. He's trying to tell them, guys, the road you're going down, you think it leads to heaven, but it leads to destruction. He's talking to church people about church people. Paul talking to church about church. He's saying many live as enemies of the cross. You know, if Paul were standing on this platform today, and now if he were standing here, I'd be sitting out there, so he'd be talking to me as well. He would say, I've often told you this, and I want to say it again, that a lot of you are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. That's the message he's saying to us today. Shane, you are too. And I've got to quit. I've got to find those areas in my life where my God is my desires, my stomach, my hungers, my God is me. And where my glory is in my shame, where I find things that I do and I try to, that I know are against the will of God, and I try to find other people that are doing those same things so that I can, you know, snuggle up next to them and so that we can be all in cahoots about this. And if I'm okay and you're okay and we're both doing this well, it's gotta be okay. Where we laud and magnify the things of the earth. And he says, that's us. That's the church. We've got to change that. We've got to be transformed. But the reality is that transformation is a process. Being transformed is a process. It's a process that we start. And remember in Philippians where he says that I believe that the one who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. That God, he's begun this transformation process in us when we say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And it's very important that we say and we believe both of those. Jesus is not just my Savior. He's not just my ticket to heaven, because Peter said on the day of Pentecost that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made, what did he make him high at? Both what? Lord and Savior. Look alive, you never know when one's coming. We've talked about that even this week, how important that is. Because Jesus, if he's just my ticket into heaven, then who's calling the shots? He's my Lord. He's my ruler. He is the shot caller and Savior. He's the one who has begun this good work in us. He has begun a good work in us, and He will see it through to completion. There's this process of transformation, and I want to get to this in depth, and there's going to be a lot of theology in this. And I apologize in advance if you don't like deep theology, but our God is deep, and our need for Him is deep, and we need to be people who aren't afraid to wrestle with and struggle with and to chew on the depth of our God. I mean, when you eat a meal, you don't just have appetizers, do you? I mean, sometimes every once in a while, you know, when they're running a special at like Applebee's or something, we'll just fill up on appetizers. But usually we have a little something, and then you get the big meal. Paul says that, you know, go from the appetizer, the thing that'll just kind of whet your appetite, and then get into the meat of it. And this morning we're going to start some of that meat talk because it's important. You see, there's two words that all Christians should consider daily. And we're going to talk about these. I want you to write them down. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning in just a brief amount of time. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to push back a little bit of my schedule on our sermon series. And we're going to talk a little bit about this because I got a little bit too excited about our goals. But those are important. But there's two words that we need to understand. The first word is justification. If we're going to be transformed. If our lives are going to be transformed, and I'm not talking about our outward appearance, I'm talking about us and how we think about and what we think about and the concept of God. You've heard me say this 100 times, and I didn't write it. A.W. Tozer, who was a gospel preacher in Chicago for a long time and grew a big, deep church and has written many, many books and a lot of depth of scripture, he said the most important thing about a person, and I believe this with all of my heart, the most important thing about a person is what comes to mind when they think about God. It shapes everything. What do you think about when you think about God? When you think about all the biblical metaphors of God. We talked about this in our Wednesday night men's class. You think there are people in this world that are estranged from our Lord because of the biblical metaphor of God our Father? Because their fathers were sorry, their fathers were abusive, their fathers were non-existent. So you think that metaphor has a lot to do with why they just run from God? What they think about God matters. It shapes them. It determines whether they will run or whether they will come to Him. What do you think? Do you think about judgment? Do you think about merciless wrath? Do you think about love? Do you think about whatever you think about? So transformation, changing into the likeness of, it's important what we think about. It's important how we reference Him. And He's given us this map, this story that explains who He is so that when we think about Him, we are provoked into His presence. We're beckoned. We are drawn. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And the word draw is like pulling water out of a well. The fact is when you drop a bucket into a well and you draw water out of it, that water doesn't have a choice, does it? You know, the glory of Christ, the love of God does that to us, where when we are in the presence, the glory of God, when we experience the truth about God, the truth about Christ, then we have no other choice. We just find ourselves just drawn to it. Is that your experience? A lot of my life it hasn't been. I mean, yeah, I'm an Arminian theologian. I think that we do have a choice, but I think that the glory of God has this provocative reality that just eliminates every other choice and just brings me to Him. When we start to realize that, then that's when transformation takes place, not because anything else, but our desire to be like that, to experience that. And justification is this idea of just as if I had never sinned. It's a big biblical word that, you know, those he foreknew, he predestined, he justified, he called, that it all. You know, justification is this 100% right with Godness. When God says, I have justified you fully in my grace, the blood of Christ justifies you, he's saying that you right then, in that moment and every other moment of your life after that, you are standing before me justified as if you had never sinned. And so when we come before God and we're guilty or we run from God and because of our sin or because of things that we've done or because of whatever, we are the only one holding on to that. He has said, you are justified before me. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3. Get my glasses out here. Romans 3, 21 through 28. Now, this is huge. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law. Now, that's not just the law of, the Ten Commandments. That is the law, nomos, the moral law of God. Okay? So it's little L in your NIV, you know, it's little L, just the nomos, the idea of moral law. Okay? He's saying, a righteousness from God, apart from moral law, has been made known, to which the law, honomos, that's the law of Moses, that's the law, and the law and the prophets, they testify to this. Oh, I hate glasses. I can't read without them, but they're in my face. The law and the prophets testify. Do you know how the law and the prophets testify that there's a righteousness apart from moral law? Because we can't do it. Because if we're going to be with God, and that's what God wants, right? God didn't make us just to damn us to hell. He made us because there is he wants to have, to be loved and to love us, and he just wants us to experience him. And you know what the law and the prophets testify to? Is that unless God comes down and miraculously just saves us, nobody's getting saved. Read the Old Testament. That's what it says over and over and over again. You try to do a good job, guess what? You screwed up. Oh, you try to serve God, oh, guess what? You got distracted. Oh, you try to serve God and Him only, oh, guess what? He told you not to go and have those foreign wives and have all those foreign gods, but you didn't listen, and every time you try to do good, you find yourself right back in the pit. That's what the law and the prophets testify to, that without God, just taking the choice out of our hands and saying, here I am, here's the real me, and drawing us to Him, nobody makes it. Nobody has a relationship with Him. That's what they testify to. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faithfulness that is found in Christ. We'll take that and we'll turn it into, okay, I've got to have faith. I've got to have this faith. I've got to have faith. Remember, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith? Is it us? What was that? Say it a little louder, Howard. Christ. Christ is the author and the perfecter of my faith. He is the one who is faithful to God. He is the one in whose faith I rest. He says, we get this because of Christ's faithfulness. Do you ever struggle with, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? Stop struggling with that. Guess what? You don't. He does. He has the faith for us all. The faithfulness of Christ. The faithfulness that was found in Christ. He says, God comes through faithfulness in Christ, of Christ Jesus, to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood, through the faithfulness of his blood, through the faithfulness that's found in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus, or those who have the faithfulness that's found in Jesus, or those who have the faithfulness of Jesus. You know where that makes a lot of sense? He did this freely. He justifies us freely. Where is it? For all who believe. Hold on, let me find it. Oh, I don't want to put those stupid glasses back on. Oh, Christ, believe. Oh, yeah, there it is in verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through the faith that's found in Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus, however you want to write that. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. See, we get hung up on that. What do we believe? Do you believe that about God? Do you believe that through the blood of Christ, through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, that He has made you just as though you had never sinned? Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, guess what? Then you will not freely go to Him. You will not experience Him. You will spend a life running from Him because you will think that He's still mad at you for something. Do you believe that? Now, if you don't, think about it. Pray about it. Fast about it. Allow the lies about God to go away and focus on the truth. I'm not making this up. We're just reading His Word. This is what He wants us to know. This is what He wants all of us to know about Him. Go to Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, through whose faith? Not my faith. Through the faithfulness of Christ. I'm not justified because I believe enough. Because I have the right doctrine. I'm justified. I'm before God as though I had never sinned because of the work that Christ and He did alone, that He was the only one able, because He was faithful to God, because He was perfect and righteous and holy, and because of His sacrifice, I've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you at peace with God? I mean, this is where transformation starts. This is where transformation starts. As not give away the next word, Tim, can you just go to the last slide where it says the big thing of begin a new journey? There it is. All right, I'm not giving you the next word. We're going to talk about that next week. I mean, believe where you wrote down all that. You got to believe that. Because that's where peace with God starts. And when we have peace with God, then we can stand up. We can come out of the foxhole and show ourselves when we're not worried about, we're not scared of getting shot down by Him. He's saying, I have made you as though you had never sinned. And not just us. And not just us. Every person who've ever drawn a breath, who's ever drawn a breath, read it. He's saying, for the sins of the whole world, for everyone, I've done it's for once for all. Everyone who's ever drawn a breath is able to stand before God as though they had never sinned. You want to grow a church? You remind people. You dispel the rumors about a vengeful and wrathful, angry God, and you tell them, do you know? You go up to a lost person that has no relationship with the Lord, and you tell them, don't be afraid. You are forgiven. You don't have to clean up your act and get into church and da-da-da. You are forgiven. Just come before God. Now, before you go and lose your mind, and I get a bunch of emails about, well, you mean everybody's going to... No. Come back next week. We're going to talk about what that does to us. We're going to talk about the life, the daily foot in front of the other, boots on the ground, walking, living, denying yourself, picking up a cross and following Him, because it all goes together. But if we don't get justification right, we will never get word number two, because we'll be so scared. We won't know what to do. As my granny used to say, he doesn't know whether to tie his shoe or wind his watch. Isn't that our experience? When we come to church, we don't know. We have all these desires, these passions. Oh, I want to do this for the Lord. Oh, we don't know. We can't. I might not be able to do that. Oh, I have all these. Oh, I've got all this inside of me. I just want to praise God. And I just want to shout His name. I just want to stand up. And Candace wants to clap. And we're like, oh, don't do that. Because that's our experience. Because we don't realize we're justified before God. And whether we stomp our feet or clap our hands or close our eyes or raise our hands or whatever to God, we have peace with Him. Because we know that it's the faithfulness of Christ and it draws us to Him. If you want to talk about this week, man, I have office hours. I'll be in there. I love it. I'm not saying that I have my head wrapped all around this, but I am saying this. God loves us and He wants us to have peace with Him. He died on the cross so that we have peace with Him. And I am tired of being at war with Him and my brothers and sisters over our relationship. Let's have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come back next week. We'll talk about what walking in His light looks like. This morning, we still have a goal. We still have a goal of bringing people to Christ. This morning, if you want to be restored to a relationship with God, if you just want to come, and we're going to have an invitation song, and if you want to come and just lay your burdens and at the foot of the cross, please do that. And if you want to confess Christ and be buried in baptism and to have that new life, if you just want to, the prayers of this church, whatever they are, whatever your need is, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing and just come forward and we'll pray about those things as together we stand and sing.